We pick up today in James chapter 3, verse 13, and we're going to read and study through verse 18, the remainder of the chapter. James chapter 3, let's begin in verse 13. James, in this section, shows us that there are two kinds of wisdom. That is, there are two kinds of thinking. One is from above, and the other is from the earth. One brings peace and goodwill, but the other causes envy and strife. And if that sounds familiar, you may be thinking about what Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians chapters 1, 2, and 3, because in those chapters, Paul was talking about this very problem, and that is human, worldly wisdom instead of the wisdom that comes from God. And so this is the same thing that James is talking about in these verses. So let's begin in verse 13. James writes, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." James asked these people, and he asked us today, who is a wise and an understanding man? How should a man like that act? Should he display his wisdom? Should he make sure that everybody knows how wise he is? No, James says, let him show out of a good conversation, that is, out of his good conduct, out of a good life, let him show his works with meekness of wisdom. Let him show his good life. Let him show that he's a wise man by how he lives. And remember back in chapter 2, verse 18, he talks about a man saying, I have faith, and he says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now here in James 3, verse 13, the Bible says that a truly wise and understanding Christian will display that wisdom by how he acts. A wise man will show, as he calls it here, the meekness of wisdom. He won't brag about it. He won't boast about it. He won't try to call attention to himself. And remember that this is the opposite of how many Jews thought. And remember also that in the book of James, there is a strong Jewish background to at least some, if not most, of the readers of this book. In Romans chapter 2, verse 17, Paul talks about this problem of pride among the Jews in that they thought that they were more wise than they really were. In Romans 2, verse 17, Paul said, behold, thou art called a Jew, and you rest in the law, and you make your boast of God, and you know his will, and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, and a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Now, that was the Jewish mindset. And sometimes these Jewish Christians, these Jews that became members of the church, brought that kind of arrogance and they brought that kind of attitude into the body of Christ, and it caused trouble. And of course, it's not simply Jews that had that problem, because there were many Gentiles in the church at Corinth that had that kind of arrogance, but it was a problem among some of these Jews that came into the church. So the Bible here in James chapter 3, verse 13, calls attention to the power of a good life, the influence of a good example. Now, when we come to verse 14, we find a contrast. He says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Notice that he says not simply envying, but bitter envying, bitter jealousy. And envy will make you angry for no reason, and then it will make you resentful, and finally, it will make you bitter. So the words bitter envying ring true so many times in human life. And then he talks about having strife in your hearts, that is, self-seeking. In Galatians 5, verse 26, Paul said, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. That's that vicious cycle that people get themselves into. There's pride on the one hand, and that provokes jealousy, and the jealousy provokes pride and self-seeking competition, and it's just an endless cycle, and it goes from bad to worse. Now notice, in verses 13 and 14, the marked difference. In verse 13, he talks about a truly wise and understanding man. What does that man do? Well, he lives a good life, and he shows his works not by arrogance, not by envy, not by pride, not by self-seeking or strife, but he shows his good works with meekness of wisdom. On the other hand, in verse 14, he talks about people who have bitter envying and strife in their hearts. Now, James says to Christians who are guilty of having these things in their heart, he says, glory not. That is, don't glory over this. Don't be proud about it. Don't be stubborn, and don't refuse to acknowledge it and repent of it when somebody shows you that you're being that way. And he says, don't lie against the truth. Don't tell yourself that you're not guilty when you know that you are. Now in verse 15, he says, this wisdom, that is, this kind of thinking, descends not from above. This kind of thinking does not come from heaven. He says this wisdom is actually, first of all, earthly. That is, it's from man. It is human wisdom. This is worldly thinking. And what does that mean? Well, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. In Jeremiah 10, verse 23, Jeremiah wrote, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And in Proverbs 16:25, the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That is a description of human wisdom. So he says, first of all, that human wisdom is earthly. Then he says that it is sensual. The word sensual here means fleshly. It means carnal as opposed to being spiritual. This is, interestingly, the same word in the original that is translated natural in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. That's where Paul said to the carnal people in the church at Corinth that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because he has this kind of sensual, that is, carnal attitude. He doesn't have a spiritual mindset. And because of that, he doesn't receive the Bible like he should. So the Bible says this kind of wisdom is sensual, that is, it's fleshly in thinking. And then he tells us very straightforwardly that this kind of thinking is devilish. It is of the devil. Now, what is he talking about here? What is it that is devilish? Well, he's talking about what he mentioned in verse 14, having bitter envying and strife in your hearts. That is devilish thinking. So James doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't pull any punches here whatsoever. He gets right to the point, and he says that kind of thinking is devilish. Those are not innocent, harmless habits. They are sins, and sins, as he's about to show, that will only get worse and cause problems. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. This is a powerful truth that is seen often in the Bible. There are many examples of what we're reading here in verse 16 scattered throughout the pages of God's Word. For instance, when you go back to Genesis 4, you read the story of Cain and Abel. Why did Cain kill his brother Abel? Well, the New Testament answers. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says plainly and simply that he killed his brother because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. It was simply out of spite. It was out of resentment. It was out of envy. And what did Cain's envy cause him to do? The Bible says it caused him, it led him to kill his own brother. Why? Well, because as James says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. In Genesis chapter 37, we read about Joseph, and we also read about his brothers. His brothers were envious of him. His brothers resented him and hated him because they were so jealous of him. And what did their envy lead them to do? It led them to sell their own brother into slavery. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 18, Pilate saw something in the Jews that had delivered Jesus to him. What did he find out? What did he see in those Jews? He saw that it was because of envy that they had delivered Jesus. Now, those same Jews said that they had a perfect right to ask that he should be executed. They said that he had broken the law of Moses, which he didn't. But Pilate knew that the real reason that those Jews brought Jesus to him was because of pure, plain, simple jealousy. And what did their envy lead them to do? It led them to kill, to have crucified, the sinless Son of God. Why? Because as James says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. A man who is jealous will do just about anything. He's capable of a lot more trouble than what we sometimes give him credit for causing. James says, where there is envy and strife, there is, first of all, confusion. Notice, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion. People are confused about what to believe and who to trust and what they should do. Now, for instance, in a home where there is constant bickering and fighting, the kids are confused. They don't know how to feel. They don't know how to act. In a church like the church at Corinth, where you have this kind of envying and infighting, the members can't see the issues clearly. They don't have any answers. And sometimes innocent people in that situation throw up their hands and simply say, I don't know what's going on. Why? Because of the confusion that envying and strife cause. So he says that envying and strife cause confusion and every evil work. When you have envy and strife in people, it can lead to just about anything and everything. So don't underestimate this. The stories of the Old Testament show us what people are capable of doing when their heart is not right and when they have the opportunity. These things lead to backbiting. They lead to politicking. They lead to lying and killing and cheating and anything else that is evil. Now, in verses 17 and 18, he talks about a better wisdom, a wisdom that he says that is from above. First of all, that kind of mindset, the kind of thinking that we should have, is pure. Then it's peaceable. Rather than having strife, it is peaceable. It is gentle. It is easy to be entreated, and that means willing to yield. Instead of being stubborn and having to have your own way, the kind of thinking that God gives us is easy to be entreated, not hard to be reasoned with. It is also full of mercy, and that means that there's going to be a lot of long-suffering and forbearing and forgiving. It is full of good fruits, that is, good deeds and attitudes and words. It is without partiality, that is, God's thinking that we ought to have is impartial. And remember, back in chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, they were being partial to the rich. And he says that it is without hypocrisy. And in verse 18, he says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Christians are peacemakers, Matthew 5, verse 9. What a great section. But the thought does not end here. In chapter 4, James will go into a problem that these people had, and that is fighting among themselves. In the next lesson, we'll look at those verses.